they've taken all the image editors and all that. Oh, that is not a, so that one did a good job.
That actually, I look like a hipster. Like, hey, would you like a soy latte? I feel like I'm making you a craft cocktail.
This Week in Startups is brought to you by Lemon.io. Hire pre-vetted remote developers. Get 15% off your first 4 weeks of developer time at lemon.io/twist. Fidelity Private Shares. Manage your cap table and data room. Get faster, more accurate 409A valuation and fully automate your next financing round. Visit fidelityprivateshares.com. Mention our podcast and receive 20% off your first year paid subscription. And CLA. Innovation takes balance. CLAs, CPAs, consultants, and wealth advisors can help you get from startup to where you want to end up. Get started now at claconnect.com/tech.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to This Week in Startups. Our guy, Sandeep Madra, is back. He's been busy. Grok is cooking with oil. How you doing, my friend, Sonny?
I am doing excellent. It's been a really, really busy. And we said this, remember, it's going to be a Q4 plus one. So we're now actually in Q4 and we are cooking. We are cooking. We're 10, 11, 12 days in by the time we publish this. And J-Cal, tell me about your September in Q4 and like what's going on, because
you know, I am settled in here in Austin. It's been absolutely fantastic. And we're doing our next class of Founder University, not our ninth cohort. You know, that's where we have people come for 12 weeks. It's virtual, 250 teams, two or three founders, each team, hopefully a technical co-founder or two. And then we invest in the top 10% of those. We might put 25K in if they want like that first friends and family check, or we'll put 125K in, you know, if they want the standard like incubator deal in Silicon Valley. And then, you know, what will be different this time is I'll meet them all for the week one in San Francisco with some of our partners. Then my plan is in week 6, 9, and 12, perhaps, the top performing companies, the ones we invest in, have them come to Austin for the day or two, hang out with me, go to the Salt Lick, have a little brisket, some bison ribs, you know, the one that broke my tooth in half.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
Maybe a little Terry Black's beef rib, which I took Chamath to for the first time, and, you know, just jam out with them about their vision. And I am super excited just because so many of these companies are able to go so far with such a small amount of capital, especially when they're teams of two or three, because of AI specifically. And it's really wonderful to see how fast people are working. And then I'm very excited about O1. I've been using ChatGPT O1 version to the point at which it gives me like a warning about credits, you know, and says, hey, you got to take a pause. That's how often I'm using it. So it's really amazing. I had just, while we start here, we're taping on a Friday. I'm not sure when this is going to come out, but we taped on Friday, October 11th. Last night was the Cybercab big reveal. I wasn't able to make it. Sorry to my friends over at Tesla, but I was traveling this week for Sachs's LP day earlier in the week. So I couldn't do two trips in 1 week. What were your thoughts when you saw the Cybercab, the Cyberbus, and Optimus, especially in relation to AI and where we're at?
Yeah. Okay. I think it's a great lead out. And I've been thinking about this all day, and we talked a little bit about it in our group chat. Okay. Let's go in that order. I think the Cybercab is really a culmination of everything that, you know, Tesla has been doing, which is building cars, building great electric cars, building on autonomous technologies with sort of all the in-camera learning and, you know, their ability to basically, you know, put that all together in a form factor now without a, you know, steering wheel and or pedals. Quick aside, I heard a number of people say, put a steering wheel and pedals on that and I'll buy it. Just,
I mean, I literally said that as well. And I think this was in the Walter Isaacson book about Elon, where Franz or whatever, you know, it's a big internal debate. And I think Elon went with the kind of burn the boats, according to that approach of, hey, we just got to force our autonomy. We got to take the steering wheel out, et cetera. And so maybe there'll be what they were calling, I think, the Model 2, which is the two-door hatchback. I want to buy that two-door Cybercab so much. I would buy two of them immediately because they just look so fun and cute and zippy to drive. Can you imagine a Tesla powertrain on something, you know, of that footprint? It would be unbelievable. It would be like that Nissan, or is it Toyota, the GTR that all the racers like to do for drifting and stuff. It would be like a Mini Cooper, you know, you get that like really small thing. I would love to put fat tires on that and feel it. I love the design too. I like the fact that this feels like kind of the love child of the Cybertruck and the Model Y or Model 3. It's kind of got its own like thing going on there. So aesthetically, I love it. I love the vision of it, obviously, for self-driving. What did you think of the bus? To me, that, I think it's an RV. I looked at that thing and I don't know if you saw, did you see my tweet that I did about it?
Let's talk
about the bus, because I thought the
Let's finish on the cap.
Okay.
So I think what they've been able to do is bring together all the pieces. Now, the final thing, which, you know, I think there's, the market reacted negatively to Tesla, but I think that's probably a buying opportunity because, look,
the stock went down, whatever, 5 or 10% then. Yeah.
Yeah. But look, think about what they've put out there and what it's capable of. And I personally think, given, and, you know, there's a couple of things that Elon really touched on in the talk track was, look, we collect, you know, millions or what, I don't even know what the number is, but let's just say a huge amount of data. And there was a video that he showed during that where it showed all these like crazy scenarios of like people jumping in front of a car and like a, you know, the car crash happening right in front of you or someone spinning out or, you know, someone crossing the road really, really fast. And so all of that has been kind of given to them through their existing car network, which then they can use to build models around. And so I actually think, and look how confident they were yesterday. They allowed people just use it inside, obviously, a square, you know.
No safety driver because there's no steering wheel, so.
Yeah, and they were letting anybody do it, and it wasn't just
on a controlled environment. So obviously, that, you know, it works in a controlled environment. So on a grid system, it's ready to go now, but you have regulators, and regulators, you know, they like steering wheels. They like review. They like side mirrors. So this is, I mean, really going to be challenging with regulators, I suspect, or not. I don't know. What's your take on that?
Yeah. So I think, like, you know, what we'll probably see is like the crawl, walk, run, because they know they can do it there. So you can imagine, like, and I think companies are going to buy them first. So think Disneyland. Right. Think all, you know, all these kind of places that operate. Think about like a retirement community in Florida. Right. So think about all these, like, you know, places,
like
that
a campus.
Run. Yeah. Yeah. Like exactly.
Places where there's golf carts or those little.
Yeah. Exactly. Easy. And I think you sell in there first. And then as the technology evolves, because he did say end of 26 or 27, I think by that point we get to kind of widely generally available release. And I think that's the underestimation because they had enough confidence to allow people to, you know, just use it openly. Obviously in a fixed area, but they weren't scared. They had no safety person in there. They had nothing on it, which is incredible. So that's my summary there. I think we get it in, you know, what you call like fixed cordoned off areas. We get it there sooner than I think people believe.
2027 would be a pretty good estimate, I think. He said he could have those cars being manufactured. It was interesting because he was like kind of, and I'll say 2026, but maybe 2027, he kind of hedged a little bit there, which kind of, maybe that's why the stock went down a little bit because maybe people want everything yesterday. But the truth is, you got to get this right. And when you do, they have the ability to produce, I think they did 1.9 million cars last year. So he does have the ability to produce that volume. And so listen, you know, he can put millions of these on the road, you know, in a short period of time. However, you know, just doing back of the envelope math, there are a billion rides a day in the US. Of those rides, about 12 million of them are Lyft and Uber. So but 3%, 2% of rides in the US are done by ride sharing. It is a minuscule amount of the overall rides. And we're not even taking into account, when you do that math, of course, public transportation and other forms of transportation, bicycles, et cetera. So there's a big pie here. And of course, if this became cheap and ubiquitous, people might stop buying cars and use these, and it would induce more usage. So it's a bright future. I do believe there'll be 3-4 winners in this, because it seems like everybody's solving it at about the same time. But there is a difference between Waymo and Cruise writing code top down versus
building it off the data set.
All right, founders, are you tired of doing all your own software development? Do you need help, but you can't afford all this time it takes to find great talent? Are you dreading the endless interviews and email chains just to find somebody great? It takes 6 months. It takes a year. Well, what you need is Lemon.io. Lemon.io has thousands, that's right, thousands of on-demand developers who can help you, and they've done the work already to vet these developers, making sure that they're results-oriented and that they're super experienced. Of course, they got to have competitive rates, so they're going to take care of that as well. And great developers are so hard to find and integrate into your team unless you're using Lemon.io, because they handle all that for you. They only offer handpicked developers with 3 years of experience at a minimum, and they have to be in the top 1% of applicants, right? If something goes wrong, don't sweat it. Lemon.io will find you a replacement developer ASAP. So many of our launch founders have worked with Lemon.io and they've had great experiences. So here's your call to action. Go to lemon.io/twist and find your perfect developer or the perfect tech team in 48 hours or less. That's right. And Twist listeners get 15% off the first 4 weeks. Stop burning money. Hire developers smarter and faster at lemon.io/twist. So maybe explain to the audience in plain English as best you can the two different architectures of these systems. We know one has LiDAR, the other ones don't. Or Tesla doesn't use LiDAR, the other ones do. So there's one issue here, but we've beaten that dog to death a million times. Let's talk about the model and how they're doing it.
And so, you know, it's actually kind of related to that, right? Because, you know, what Elon says is a human has two eyes and it's sort of a head that moves around, and that's all it has. And we're able to drive cars, you know, perfectly fine, right? That's what we're trying to mimic. And the reason, you know, others add sensors is all the, you know, the eyes, the cameras can get covered. So you have an extra set of sensors that give you another view of the world and then use that. So now you take that into the model, right? Where if you're building a model that's using vision and using like a LiDAR and using, say, ultrasonics, you have to write code that brings that all together. And so what you're doing there is basically sort of, I just call it like sort of the traditional approach across all those things, and you're double checking, and it's valuable that you have all that, but it's much more difficult because you're having to have the, you know, code and the drive and all those things make decisions, right? What Elon and team did, and this is a gross simplification, is they just took a model that would learn to drive by watching video. All they fed it was, you know, hours, or, you know, maybe hundreds of millions or billions of hours of video that they had from the cars. And so just figure out what humans do and follow what they do. See how they sit in lanes. And so instead of coding and saying, you know what people tend to do is they don't drive right in the middle of the lane. They tend to move based on hug the left, or if there's a car to the right of you, they go to the right, or if there's a bike, they even go out.
Give
the
it
other
a little
lane.
Extra grace in that period. Yeah.
I'll give you an experiment you can do. If you make a right, like a right turn, but there's no one in, like, say, the oncoming lane into the lane that you're turning into the road, it'll actually go wide and go out into the lane, into the oncoming traffic. And that's because it's learned that from humans, right? Like, you don't need to hug the right side curb if no one's in the, you're kind of scared to hit your rims or whatever it is, right? And so what it's learned to do is, like, just do that by watching humans. Say, well, there's no one in the lane, just stretch out into the left turn lane, the oncoming left turn lane. And, you know, you can't write that in code. That's the nuance, right? And that's what you have to do if you build kind of a more traditional system, versus this one is just watching all the nuances of humans and then implementing them on how they take curves and how they move around people. And, you know, now it has to follow a certain set of rules. Like, one of my biggest frustrations is it does this, like, full stop. And I'm always afraid of, like, someone from behind hitting the car.
Yes.
Yeah.
This is a Waymo issue as well. I saw somebody on Threads today. I went over to Threads to see what the reaction was there. And that's like really the people who hate Elon or hate, they're the left. So they hate anything that's Republican or GOP. Yeah. And, you know, one person was talking about Waymo and they were like a San Francisco bike person, and you know how those people are, like, they kick your car, literally. Like, I had one kick my car, almost got into fisticuffs with the guy, started yelling at my pregnant wife. That's all another story. Putting all that aside, the really interesting thing he was saying was I used to screw around with the crews and the Waymos, you know, I was like one of the guys who put cones on them kind of thing. And he's like, and now I walk with my dog and I love them because I know that they're not going to be looking down at their text or distracted and roll through a stop sign and hit me. There's no way they can hit me and they stop perfectly. So the other thing people are complaining about, and somebody on our group chat said this, is it's kind of annoying that they're such square drivers and they kind of take their time too much. And that's been my issue with, using the Tesla full self-driving FSD. Austin. Yeah. And is traffic surf. And it is very cautious.
Cautious, yeah. But you can put it on aggressive mode.
I have it on aggressive mode and it's still a little scared of traffic circles, I think. So for the team over there, I think that's like probably traffic circles are not that common. So maybe it needs more training data. And then how people behave in traffic circles is wild. That's one of the other things I've learned in Austin. Like what I thought was the proper way to use a traffic circle is not how people in Texas use them. They use them like, I mean, they'll be going here, through I'm them. Going.
Yeah,
they don't slow down.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a pretty interesting moment there. Let's talk about this, the bus. I thought the bus...
Robo van.
I'm calling it the cyber sled. I think that this could change everything. If you look at this thing, he did mention it could be used for transporting goods. Okay, yum, yum. You imagine this thing with an Amazon person in it?
Yeah.
Imagine there's an Amazon rep inside of this thing, and it's driving to the next destination. That rep is getting the box ready. It opens the doors, it jumps out, it tosses the box. Okay, that's going to save a lot of time. But what were your thoughts on this? It looks gorgeous, obviously, but I have my own thoughts and you saw my tweet, so we can jump into that.
My personal thoughts, like very similar to yours, like this could be like a great basis for like a whole new generation of RVs, long distance commute, all that type of stuff, right? Let me get in. Like you could own one. It could have your whole office desk in there, big monitor, sit down, work, you know, Starlink on top.
I moved to Texas, I was like, I'm going to get one of these mobile offices, like a Sprinter van. And I started looking into them. They're not cheap. They cost like 200 grand. I mean, because they dial them in or 300 grand, whatever. So I was like, well, that's a little ridiculous. But anyway, you can have a desk and you can have like a full on, you know, basically like it looks like a private jet inside. But I thought these would be incredible for a mobile home. Imagine autonomy, a giant battery, and then you have a hurricane occur in Florida and they say, okay, send 10,000 of these to, you know, this stadium's parking lot or to these Walmarts. People come and you could rent one, or like you're at the World Series of Poker and you want to have your own trailer, or you're at Burning Man, or I don't know, you have your in-laws coming in and you order one to your house for a week for $100 a night and you park it in your driveway and now you have an extra bedroom. These things are so compelling to me because it's somewhere between a car, an office, an ADU. And you think about the giant battery in there, like how long could that battery last? That could be a battery that lasts 30 days and has enough roof space to put solar on it. So congratulations to the team. Their Optimus looks like it's doing well as well.
Well, the last thing on Optimus, you know, just like the car, they had it out in the wild. They had it serving drinks. They had it just walking around talking to people and reacting to people. So, you know, I think what I really liked about this was they made it more real, right? And it's kind of funny because the reaction wasn't that way, but by letting cars and letting people drive around and letting the robot walk around amongst people, those are big accomplishments. And what we forget, Jason, is just 2 years ago, Elon did the, Tesla did like the announcement. Remember they had the guy, the suit, like kind of acting as a robot. I don't know if you saw yesterday, they had that one in like a gazebo and they were dancing. And like, you think about it, 2 years ago, it was like dude in a suit. And then yesterday it's like, you know, robots actually dancing like in a gazebo.
I think, you know, it's like bankruptcy. They asked somebody like, how did you go bankrupt? And they said slowly, then all at once. And I think that's what self-driving is. It's like this thing is taking forever because of edge cases and regulation and safety and competition and, you know, all, you know, what happens when there's an emergency vehicle? How is the public going to respond to it? But it's pretty clear that this is going to be the future. And then the build out is going to take time, because even if you built 2 million of these a year and they did 30 rides a day, you know, 2 million of them doing 30 rides a day, 60 million rides, you know, you're still, it's going to be like 1% of the rides in the United States. I mean, let alone the world. And then you have BYD that copies everything Tesla does. You've got Cruise, Waymo. I mean, there's a lot of players in here. So everybody wants to ask me about like my thoughts on Uber. Well, Uber went up tremendously because I think people realize if every single
little J-Cal yum yum,
a little yum yum, you know, listen, and I own a lot of different stocks. Like, it's not a big deal. Like, if Uber goes up and down, you know, build out of this will be a 2-decade build out. I think 10 years from now, we'll be at 20% of rides being automated.
So, we're almost in 2025. So, 2035,
20% of rides globally will be autonomous. 80% will still be done by drivers.
Oh, dude, in 10 years, I'll take the over. I'll take the over, like way more than 20% in 10 years.
Perfect. Okay, we got a $1,000 bet. We'll put that on the bets, thisweekinstartups.com/bets. There's an easy bet, because here's the thing. I think what people don't realize is the number of rides out there is so giant, and the number of rides are going to triple. What I learned from being an early Uber investor was that we were comparing it to cab rides, but then it quickly exceeded the number of cab rides. So you say, well, what happened here? Well, people left their cars at home because they were having a drink or was more convenient, et cetera. And then they started using it for commuting, where they might have previously taken a bus. And they said, well, I'll go point to point because I can afford it because it's $8. So a lot of great things going on here, but
Jeevan's paradox. It's Jeevan's paradox. You make more of a... So Jeevan was a economist that basically came up with this theory, you know, in the late 1800s, British economist, that said, if you make more of a resource available, people end up consuming more of it, right? And so it was kind of in the steam engine era, right? Where it was like, oh, like steam engines are going to change everything, but they start, and what's it going to do to coal? And then all of a sudden they start consuming more coal. And so anytime we've put something out there, actually a better example here is that farming, right? So when we went to the industrialization of farming, what ended up happening is the consumption of food really increased, right? And like, you know, Americans are, everyone's more obese because it's just more of it's available. So we eat more of it. So it's just something that we tend to do is cheaper. Yeah.
All right, listen, interest rates are coming down, but it's still hard to raise a new round. Everybody knows that. The last thing you need is to get bogged down in the minutia while raising. So if you're a founder overwhelmed with your cap table management, due diligence, and frankly, managing your investors, you need to check out Fidelity Private Shares. Fidelity understands that dealing with equity can be incredibly time consuming. That's why some founders joke that fundraising is a full-time job. I'm not working on my startup. I'm managing my investors. I'm doing fundraisers. And it shouldn't be, right? With Fidelity Private Shares, you're going to easily manage your cap table and your data room. You're going to get a more accurate 409A valuation, and you're going to get it quicker. You'll also be able to model the future of your company's equity, which you need to do as the founder, because this dilution adds up. People start signing notes. They don't know what the impact of those notes will be. And, you know, you want to model that out. And you can fully automate your next funding round. So you stay on track, you seem professional, even if you're scattered, you know, you want to come across as very professional and buttoned up. And that's what having a great partner like Fidelity will do. And you're going to get great support from Fidelity, a great startup community. They do a lot of cool events with founders and VCs. I'm going to be going to some of them. So check out Fidelity Private Shares at fidelityprivateshares.com. Mention our podcast. You're going to receive 20% off your first year paid subscription.
When I lived in LA, they were constantly making the 405 one lane bigger. And like when it stopped, when they stopped one project and then they'd have 2 years, what happened was people would move further out from the city center because they're like, oh, I can live now in El Segundo and make it to Santa Monica or Century City for work. And then it fills up again. So the traffic, no matter how many lanes you did, would instantly fill up with induced traffic. But congratulations to the team there. And I think it's awesome. And I think there are going to be, I think, you know, we talked about this. There's going to be 3 or 4 players who are all going to figure this out to different extents, I believe, in the same 36-month window, which means at the same time. Now, I know that's hard for people to understand that figuring out a technical problem in the same 36 window is the same time, because there is a physics constraint here. You need batteries. And you need resources. It would take literally to do the number of rides just in the United States every day, there's a billion rides, you're talking about 50 million of these cars. Like, I don't know if the battery packs are available for 50 million cars. And if Tesla makes 2 million a year and they were to double it every year and they went to 4, then they went to 8. I mean, I don't know what the physics constraint of the factories and the batteries are, but, you know, it's going to take a lot. And so that's why I think 20% being automated, you know, in 10 years is a realistic goal. Right now we're below 1%. I think that means the pie is going to get so big.
Yeah. And I think 1, 2, and 3 are pretty clear, right? Waymo, Tesla.
Cruise and
right?
Tesla. Yeah. And BYD and yeah. some of the Chinese well, companies.
Can we add in Joby?
Sure. I mean, and then going in the air is going to be part of the Joby, Archer, and the other one. Yeah, it's pretty clear that we're going to really have a bright future. So congratulations to everybody. Let's talk a little bit about demos here. It's
we got to get back into it. All right,
that we got to get back into it.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, I think
okay. I'm going to go a little bit different order because I'm generating something and it's taking longer. So
no problem. First
demo, actually, Jake, I don't know if you've used this yet. Let me get my ChatGPT open here. And I don't know if you've tried this. So let me get my share going here. So they have a new mode here, and it's called ChatGPT 4.0 with Canvas. Have you seen this?
I have not used it. I have
okay.
seen it.
Okay.
This right. came out this week.
Write me an itinerary. Okay. For a one-day tech conference in Austin. I'm just going to do it just for you, Jake. All right. And so what you're going to see here is, so now what it does is it on the left-hand side is your ChatGPT, and you can do this for writing code and a bunch of things, but I think this is much more applicable to folks, right? And you can basically take a section of it, highlight it, which I'm going to do here. Hold on, let me just highlight this properly.
How did the chat window move over to the left?
Because that's what happens when you use this mode. And now, so for these two sections here, I can say, let's just say, make these more about intros and a special guest. And so now, see what it'll do is it highlights it right in place.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so if you're working on something, basically what it's doing is it will highlight, it'll let you work on the document while you're kind of editing it on the left-hand side, which is really cool.
So weird that mine's not doing that. It's not putting me on the left-hand side for some reason.
No, but are you doing 4.0 with Canvas?
I am on 4.0 with Canvas, but it's not showing me the left-hand column. I don't know why. Maybe I've got to log out and log back in, but this is really cool because it's editing the same document.
Yes.
This is what we've been waiting for because so this is great. This is a 10 of 10, obviously.
Yeah.
This is absolutely wonderful because we could put in today's docket or like a news program doc and say like, make it shorter, make it longer, add something to this,
I did
add something
to that.
put it in a table. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, we're starting to see this is what we saw in Blade Runner when he is asking to analyze some video clips and he's zooming in to the left and the right and it's responding in real time. That was a vision from Ridley Scott, from the 80s. And this is fantastic. Absolutely 10 of 10. Just great. Yeah.
Right. And this is daily use. This is use all the time. This is much better to iterate when it comes to usability. And so you give it your grade, J-Cal.
I'm giving it a 10. 10 of 10.
Oh, 10. Okay. All right.
Yeah. A plus for me.
A plus.
What about for you? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this was the one last thing that I always kind of struggle with ChatGPT is like, oh, you're always having to copy paste or rewrite the whole thing. And now you can edit it in place. And so I want to make sure you get it enabled, Jake. How like I feel for you right now. I don't know what.
Well, what it might have been? It might have been that I didn't wait till it was done. Like, when does it actually open up the left?
It kind of starts I mean, I can do another one. We can just do another one here. What were you trying to do? I'll do your one here.
I just said create an itinerary for going to Tokyo and Niseko to go skiing this winter. And it gave me like 3 days in Tokyo and 4 days in Niseko. Yeah. But it didn't put it on the 4.0 with Canvas. Nope. Try again.
Yeah. So see, it's interesting. So for this one,
Didn't open the left-hand side. I wonder why it's not doing that.
Somebody from one of our friends over there explained to us why it's not opening the left-hand chat for every one.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
strange, because you just had that happen.
Yeah, it just happened there, but it's now it's not doing it for me either.
Hmm.
Weird.
Very strange.
Very strange.
This is absolutely fantastic, and I think this is the game changer that I've been waiting for. So
yeah,
congratulations to the team over there. And, you know, just using O1 all the time and seeing it show its work of what it's doing has been extraordinary for me. I have been doing so many interesting, and like actually speaking of what we're talking about here, I was looking at, you know, I was having these conversations with people about, let me share my screen, one moment. So I was having these conversations with people about car production, because I was trying to figure out how fast could we actually make enough cars to do all the rides in the U.S. and who makes the most cars. And
I
did a table with this, and you know, then it was missing some companies. So I was like, hey, where's BYD and all this? They make 4.5. Then I said, well, where's Tesla? And I said, well, Tesla's making, you know, I put Tesla in there at 4.5. And I was like, wait a second, that's not the number of cars they made. They made 1.8. So is that right? And then I was asking it to, you know, correct itself, and it did memory updated, et cetera. And it's really like coming together. And then I asked it how many cars are sold in the world per year. And it told me 70 million cars are sold per year. So then I was able to back into, well, in the United States, we need like 50, 60 million cars in order to have a fleet big enough to do all rides. Because I was like, what's all rides? All rides is probably 50 to 75 million of these cars, because you got to realize some are going to be in a dense urban area. Some will be in the suburbs where, you know, you might do an hour long ride and then it takes 45 minutes to pick up the next person because it's across town or whatever, you know, it's or half an hour to pick something up. Long story short, it would take every car manufacturer in the world just to make enough cars to do the United States. And then on to the next country, You know, it's not going to be easy is the point. The world of tech startups is a whirlwind. Man, you got to navigate financial management, global expansion, and of course, strategic growth. It can feel like plotting a course through uncharted waters, but fear not. CLA is here to cut through the complexity. From entity selection to mergers and acquisitions, they'll elevate your startup journey, simplify your financial management, and they're going to be your navigator. CLA offers a comprehensive suite, including industry-focused wealth advisory, digital solutions, plus audit, tax consulting, and even outsourcing. What sets CLA apart? Their expansive footprint. They have more than 8,500 dedicated professionals across nearly 130 U.S. locations, all driven by a global vision. Their promise is simple: to know you and to help you. CLA is more than an accounting firm. They're your partner to success. So you need to have a trusted advisor by your side, one who's going to help you navigate through all these important tax issues, get your accounting tight, and do everything in between. It's time to take action. Visit claconnect.com/tech. And don't forget to mention that your boy J-Cal sent you. That's claconnect.com/tech. Start today.
J-Cal, we can do your demo. Try this. So try it again.
Okay.
And say use Canvas if it's not. I was getting annoyed. Yeah. And then see if you can do it.
Okay. Let's see. I'll pick
or use Canvas mode.
Use Canvas mode to.
Well, pick the Canvas mode, type it. And then if it doesn't do it when your next prompt, just say use Canvas mode.
Use Canvas mode to explain the total number of car rides in the United States. Give us citations as well. Let's see if it does it. Oh, it did it. There you go. So, you know, and this is what I was trying to explain. I've got to stop sharing. So, you know, 344 billion rides annually. I mean, it's just nuts the number of rides that are occurring. And, you know, if you say 344 billion, it's 365 billion days a year. So it's about a billion rides per day. And so, you know, now if I went to the side here, let's make a financial model. How many automated cars would be needed to service all these rides? All these rides. Okay, let's see what it says. Let's see if it does it. So here we go. It's giving us a total number, the total number done. Average rides per car per day. Assuming a car can complete 30 rides a day, that's actually a pretty good estimate, by the way, because that's what an Uber driver can do, is like 15 to 20. So two shifts, you could kind of get there. Days in service a year. This assumes they operate 365 a day. That's a big assumption. We probably need to do that. Total car rides per car is, you have to bring them in to change tires, to charge. And the charging time, as you know, is to fully charge. Maybe if you're doing a supercharger, it'll be less, you know, but still going to be some time. So it's saying here approximately 31 million. And I say, let's say, assume cars are on the road 80% of the time and charging 20%, and that they cost $40,000 to buy, and let's say $10,000 a year to insure and clean. And then we can, let's see if they can do this. Now, this is something you would be talking over the shoulder to an analyst, right? If you were in a venture firm or whatever, or you were at Morgan Stanley and you're an analyst, and you start, now you're here, you got the financial model says cost per car 40, annual insurance 10, total cars needed 40 million, 39 million, $1.5 trillion to purchase the cars. $1.5 trillion is a lot of money, folks. You know, just to give you an idea, I think Apple may be sitting on 100 or 200 billion at any given point in time. And so the operating cost would be 400 billion a year. So, you know, it's not easy, right? What would the revenue be if each ride was, I don't know, let's say $15. Now we can start to see what the revenue would be here. $15 a ride seems reasonable for a half hour ride. You can start to get to, let's see, revenue $5.65 trillion.
Oh my God.
That's at $15, right? So then you take 15, you take out the cost of buying all of these cars, 1.5, the cost of maintaining them, 400, and you can see there's a big business to be at here. Who knows what the margin would be, you know? But this is incredible. I mean, wow. And what I love about this is when we were talking about crypto, we were trying to figure out the use case, right? You were in crypto land for 5 years, right? You lost a half decade to crypto.
No, you did okay.
You made a bunch of money on your investments. But my point is, as a technology, we put all this effort into it. And then you look at what is happening with AI. Like, this is actual real value. If you're an analyst, I had to have a whole talk with my team the other day because they were giving me work before doing this. And I was doing this while I was asking the questions. And I'm like, your work sucks. ChatGPT is awesome. Why don't you use ChatGPT and then come to me with your work after you've polished what ChatGPT has done? And they're like, are we allowed to do that? Is that fair? And I'm like, fair? What are we talking about here? Like, let's kick everybody's ass into,
That's like going from typewriters to word processors. Like, oh, I can't use spell check.
Yeah. I mean, literally people are taking whiteout. People don't know what white, look up what whiteout is. There was a huge business in something called whiteout where you would take a little bit of nail polish and you would, you know, if you misspelled, if you did a typo, you would put whiteout in and then blow it dry and then retype over it. Okay. We're not in whiteout mode anymore. This is a 10 of 10. I could sit here with you all day and come up with examples. And now imagine this thing could put images in there, you know? And then I could say, here, put this in a simple table.
Yeah. You got to share it. We're doing demos. Yeah.
I know. Sorry. I was trying to be gracious here with you. Okay. Put this into a table. Yeah, that's nice.
No, but you don't
Do it slightly different.
Okay. What I'm saying is you can highlight like a little paragraph on the right hand side. So just highlight, say the paragraph that says that. On the right hand side.
Okay.
Highlight that paragraph says total number of rides. Just highlight that paragraph up a bit.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, highlight that. No, wait. Now, users ask ChatGPT, you can say, make this more spicy or expand on this or just say something.
Make this more concise and make this more concise. Let's see what it does.
Yeah. And see what it'll do is it'll rewrite that. Right? Oh, so it goes in and then boom. This is the superpower, J-Cal. Now you don't have to do it on the left-hand side. You can just go to each bit and you can say, say, oh, put an image of that. So you highlight it again and say, can you turn this into a graphic, right? Of, of the same paragraph. Say, I want to see this as a graphic or something, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty amazing. Yeah. I mean, this is what we've been looking for.
Yeah.
Well done to the team over there. A plus. I've been waiting for this too, because it's so obvious that this is not a difficult thing to do. And this is, you know, I got to give the team over at OpenAI credit, and I got to give the people at Gemini a bit of a warning here at Google. This entire workspace is dedicated to the UX of ChatGPT. You can't do this with Gemini because you've shoehorned it into Google. Google should buy chat.com, the domain name from whoever.
You've been saying that.
And make a dedicated new service. You can leave Gemini inside of search, but I need a domain name I go to that's different than Google. That does this, and I can then, it could be, it's, this is powered by Google, you know, it's from Alphabet, chat.com, and then have a great app that complements it on iOS and work on the iOS app first. We'll start releasing stuff to iOS first, so you get those top users, and you know, everything is hidden inside of an app. You ask somebody, how do you get to Gemini? They're like, I don't know, somewhere in my Google interface, I got to hunt and peck for it. 100%. Of the user interface must be dedicated to the AI. But wow, we're quick with it. Give us another demo here. This is a great one.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah. Awesome. And it's getting daily use. You go, the weekly active, daily active remains solid for OpenAI. Okay.
400 million people a month is what I heard.
Yeah. Some 250 or 300, some really massive number, and a big portion of those paying $20 a month, which is also incredible. Okay. We're going to just give a quick shout out to Meta and a couple of demos real quick. And we're going to start with one of their models, which we have running on Grok. So I'll just show it there. And so what Meta released a few weeks ago, 2 weeks ago now, was what they call vision models. And so I'm going to give a quick demo here. Let me get my screen share going properly. And I just did it before, so I'll reset it here. So let's just clear this out. So basically, this I'm going to use the 11 billion. So it's Llama 3.2. It's called Vision. And so what you can do is, you can give it like a picture of anything, and you can give it a task. And I'll just kind of turn this down a little bit. So I just said, so for the folks listening, I gave it a picture of a plate of food, and I said, tell me everything that's on this plate, estimate the portion size and calories. And you do that, and basically what you'll see here is, and you see how quick that is now. So this is what's starting to happen in this universe, right? Which is we're getting the same models, but instead of, you know, this used to take like 30 seconds, 45 seconds, and this happened in 300 milliseconds, right? And so now you have to think about this combined with glasses and other things, J-Cal, where it can, this is the era we're going into, where you can be looking at information and the processing of it's even faster than our own brain.
There's a really interesting thing. It's really good that you brought up interface on the new Apple AirPods. And I'm not an AirPods guy. I like the Pixel Buds. But in this new version, I just got the fours with noise cancellation.
Yep. Same here. I got not the in-ear ones, but the fours with the noise cancel. I got the same
ones.
Which
I prefer.
Yep.
There is a very interesting feature. When Siri is going to read you something, it says you can shake your head up and down to say yes or left and right.
I saw that in the settings. Okay,
yes. Got it. And so it's really compelling because it will say, Sunny just texted you a long text. Read the text. And I go, and then, when I just nod, it reads it to me.
Yeah, and you're like,
yeah, or you say no. Yeah. Or it's like, hey, because I use the walking thing. I like to track my walks as exercise. And it says like, hey, would you like to end your outdoor walk? And I just go, nope. Or I go, yes. And it ends it. So this is becoming really compelling. People are going to start doing shaking of their head, or they'll have something on their wrist to kind of do small gestures to interact with the glasses that we saw from, Meta. And you put this all together, we're going to be constantly interacting with data and information if we want to. And it's going to ruin social settings and everything, but it's going to make people incredible. Like the idea that in a poker game you could be wearing glasses.
Well, they're going to have it, but
you're going to have to ban them. I think we're going to have to ban those glasses in restaurants, obviously in gyms. And I think, I haven't been to a public gym in a long time. I go to my YMCA here in Austin. I like the YMCA. It's great. Well, it's good for, it's like fun for families and kids and stuff. They ban, I think you can't have your phones out in the locker room, I think. But I mean, these glasses, that's a whole nother level of, invasion of privacy and then also distraction. So do you want those glasses? Do you want the AR glasses?
Yeah, well, so, I think the era of us, getting superpowers, because, other than getting like the brain implant and everything can't be done over audio. So what I kind of think about is, what if you're wearing those glasses at work and then it's just analyzing everything you're looking at? So instead of you having to kind of keep telling your, employees to keep using ChatGPT, it's just automatically like looking at whatever you're doing and giving you guidance and advice on it. Like, hey, I can help you make this better. Or what do you think about this? So I think, it has huge implications just in that setting. And, there's a crazy stat someone told me this week. You know what percentage of people like in America wear glasses? Yeah, it's like 60 apparently. So naturally everyone that gets old needs to wear glasses too, right? So it kind of adds up.
I mean, I wear readers because when I'm doing the show, I want to be able to crisply read it, and if I don't, I have to strain. And so these 1.5s or 2.0s are
I'm the same. Well, I'm the same. One.
What did you think of the hack? I had the two Harvard kids who built the facial recognition that would then go look up in public databases information, feed it to them.
Yeah.
And then they were like kind of tricking people into thinking they knew them. You saw the demo. I had them on this week in Startups this past week with Alex. What are your thoughts on that?
Look, I think like when people do that kind of stuff, it's like art of the possible, right? It's not like a practical thing because, at the end of the day, the people that make those platforms won't approve apps like that. And, you can do all these bad things. Like you can sit in front of a store and capture everyone's Wi-Fi. Like you can do all these like nefarious things all the time, right? I think really you know who I want to have that is like the security guys at like a baseball or football game.
Right? Totally. Yeah, no, I mean, if we started if we had terrorist attacks, God forbid, at a stadium, which has happened in the past in other countries, people would be like, you know what? We need this facial recognition. James Dolan has famously installed a lot of facial recognition at Madison Square Garden. Little controversies there on the margin, but even, I have a big security system at my ranch and it knows faces. And I put in everybody's face who works at the house. Like we have a plumber or an electrician. When they come to the house, I put their face, I put their name. Hey, that's Carlos. Hey, this is Jane, whatever. And then if somebody comes on the property who we don't know, it tells me, and I get a little alert, hey, there's an unrecognized face or a license plate on the property. So it knows certain, trash pickups, license plate, and others. Yep. And that's all coming to corporate software, and then it's going to make its way down to consumer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So Meta's new vision models, what's your grade?
I mean, I got to give it a B+. I mean, it's really solid, and it's going to get better and better. I mean, where do you give it?
I mean, look, I think the fact that it's open source for me is A+, right? Okay. You are now able to do in open source what you can do with the best models that are there. And I think that's better for society. So I give them an A+ putting vision models out there. And look, think about what it took to make a calorie counting app, JKL. Probably someone came through your incubator at some point.
We did.
And want to do it. Yeah. And look, like this did it in 300 milliseconds without.
We actually had one years ago, like a decade ago, that pitched us that was using people in Manila.
Yeah.
Like mechanical turking it. You would send the image, they would look it up online, and they would make their best estimate and give it to you. And they would do it for, 2 cents or 5 cents through Mechanical Turk. And people were paying $50 a month for the service. So, they.
Yeah.
Even if they abused it and used it 50 times a day, it still wouldn't match their subscription price.
Yeah.
Absolutely fantastic. And let's pause for a second here. What does this mean, that the language models are catching up to what OpenAI is doing, the leader in the space, very quickly? And there doesn't seem to be that much distance between the models, I would say under a year, 6 months to 12 months behind.
Yep. 6 months.
But the interface
seems to be where OpenAI is making, you know, really great advances.
So it's really fascinating, and it's a good point. You've highlighted it, right? I think what they've realized, and I think their revenue was like leaked, and it showed actually more of their revenue is coming from ChatGPT than their API. Basically, what I think is exactly what you said. ChatGPT is, you know, an OpenAI are becoming like a consumer-facing application, whereas, you know, Meta, and we're going to do a couple more Meta demos in a second, is focusing on the fundamental technology and integrating it into their interface, which are consumer-facing applications. So what you're seeing, and for them, putting it out there in the open to make it, the community make it better is important, but their core business is not to be selling, you know, tokens as a service to people or selling intelligence, right? And so that's the interesting intersection that I see, you know, or maybe crossroads is a better word, across what ChatGPT is doing now. And, you know, if you take a step back for all the, you know, let's just call it chaos, for lack of a better word, that's happened at OpenAI. If you think about everyone that's left for a second, J.Cal, right? The people that have left have been pretty much like were focused, like not on, like, you know, they were there as like kind of core research types, right? Better for the world types for real OpenAI. And as OpenAI commercializes, it's looking like a different business. And so
it's looking like an app business. It's looking like an office suite or something. It's starting to feel like productivity software. It's like, it feels like a Salesforce.
Yeah. If you're an AI researcher, maybe you're kind of like, oh, well, this, I signed up to work at OpenAI and build intelligence for the world. And now these guys are like, oh, we're just going to build like, you know, commercial product, which is totally fine.
Yeah. And with all this money being poured into it, it feels like this is getting commoditized faster than anything I've ever seen.
But that's why them having the users is important, right? Because I think, you know, having, you know, 200 million paying users. Yeah, you got
to
give them credit.
I guess so. Yeah. That is hard to do, to get people to take their wallets out. So a couple of million paying users, pretty impressive. But the other point of it is, like, I think, you know, using Siri, I've been using the beta, and I've talked about it on the show and all in a bunch. I feel like they're going to intercept the first 50% of queries are going to be done by Siri, Alexa, Microsoft Copilot, Google, et cetera, people who already have scale on their devices.
Yeah, but you're going to expect that for free versus what we were just doing. You're going to be willing to pay for that because you're like, oh, this is my workflow versus I'm just, you know, if I'm doing Q&A, I just want it for free.
At $20 or $30, I think we have the enterprise version. So maybe we're paying $30 a person and maybe half my people are using it. And I think I'm like, if you're not using it at my company's, you're not going to be on my companies for long. It's going to become obvious that you're falling behind. For $360 a year, if your average employee is 50, 75, 100, pick your business, 150, depending on where you're located in the world, 1% or 0.01% or 0.1% of your employee salary is nothing to pay. It's kind of grossly undervalued. If you told me this product was $500 a month, I would pay for 5 seats. I wouldn't pay for everybody. I would make sure they're using it, but I would have 5 people on it. I mean, things like the Wall Street Journal cost $400 a year or something. I don't know what it costs, something crazy. Bloomberg, that stuff can add up. This is providing serious, serious value. And I guess Canvas and O1 are not available for free. So yeah, I do think there's a case to be made. But if you're a Microsoft or Google, I'm making all this free. I'm taking everything ChatGPT does and
it's the teams. You're going to do the teams and you're going to
I'm going to bundle it and make it for free. I'm like literally going to make it super for free and just, you know, take the oxygen away from them. Right. Yeah. So that people who, but right now this, you know, there's no domain name for me to send my team to for Google to go use Gemini like this. Right. And the multiplayer mode is the thing that I want. I want to use Canvas with you or with another person. So when we're building the docket, we're working on it together.
That's got to be close. They can't be. I mean,
multiplayer, you know, modes.
It's got to be super.
Because you can already share it with each other. It's just, but then it gets forked, right? When you share a discussion, it gets forked. And did you notice when you create them now, it asks you when you share it, it asks you if you want to
publish it.
Yeah. This is going to be crazy for SEO.
Yeah.
So when you share a link and you copy it, there's a little chat. But there's a little button. It doesn't work with Canvas, but with the regular one, it does let you share it publicly. So that means the Google index is going to be filled with conversations.
I mean, it's wild. Like, what about the biggest hack, right, to get more traffic in is basically just open your index of questions up and then basically everyone's coming to you. It's so smart.
It's all the work that went into Quora is now these guys scraped Quora and they're going to republish Quora.
a thousand times. I mean, if I'm Quora, I'm suing the hell out of them. If they, I mean, I don't know
maybe
what
they have,
they're paying
I think they have
for.
A deal. Maybe they have a deal. Maybe they, I think they have a deal.
This just guts everybody who's got a business. Yeah. Okay, let's do another topic.
Okay, we're going to keep rocking. We got a few more here. Okay, this actually finished. So I'm going to go back to, and I don't know if you guys did this already. So if we did, we'll just go quickly here. Yeah, so I had this like MIT management fall 2024 review. And it's just like somebody had sent it to me on WhatsApp. And okay. So basically, I didn't want to read it. So I just dropped it in Notebook LM and it turned it into a 13-minute podcast. And so hilarious. So I'm going to just kick it off. We'll listen to the first.
Hey, everyone. Welcome back. So it seems like you're all about diving deep into how organizations are tackling change right now. Those MIT Sloan Management Review articles you've got stacked up.
NPR
yeah,
voice.
We see you.
Quite
don't worry. This isn't about drowning you in information. We're here to pull out those golden nuggets, the insights that'll really get you
the
thinking.
Insights.
And maybe spark some ideas for
and
how
you navigate
change.
And here's my female
co-host,
because we're woke. And
you know, it's interesting
NPR
how many parallels
you.
There are.
All right. Okay. So, Jacob, I actually like.
I love it. I love it. I think it's
right. Have you tried that mode yet? Have you tried it?
I haven't used it yet, but I think that it's fantastic that one of the modes of consumption will be make this into a conversation that I can listen to.
Yeah.
Fantastic. And, like, I want to learn physics, but I don't want to learn it.
Like reading the textbook, or I don't want to do Q&A with it. I want to listen to a podcast about it. And so, Jacob, the hack that people are doing now, and I'm going to tell you this, is they take their diary, right? And you know, some people diary at different levels and then, or their feelings about a certain situation. So let's say you and I are having a conflict, right? And I go and I write myself like a 3-page letter of like, these are all the things that like, I love about Jake.
Making fun of me. And
yeah, exactly.
Took my money in poker.
Exactly. And write it all down. And then they put it into Notebook LM and then they have two people.
And they make a podcast. Yeah. Oh my God.
And they listen to it. And then you get a third party view of your situation. It's really incredible.
I mean, think about this like for a coach kind of situation or a therapy kind of situation or a mediation situation. It's kind of in that zone. And I had a lot of people pitch me on therapists, like virtual therapists. And we had some spicy ones that were on earlier, like a year or two ago. So there is something here of being heard is a human, very cathartic for humans. When you feel heard, and that's why I think, you know, if the AI can pull this off in an authentic way and it makes you feel heard, that could lower people's anxiety where they're like, hey, I'm having feelings of jealousy. I'm having feelings of anger towards my boss. He's a jerk. His expectations are high. He's giving me a hard time about AirPods and all this stuff and how to do like perfect production or whatever. Yeah, my boss is insufferable, whatever. Like, it's like, oh yeah, you know, but your boss just wants you to get the best out of you. You know, the company just wants to produce great content. And, you know, there's a reason why, you know. Yeah, okay, now I can sleep at night. You know, like, it's kind of cool, actually. I have no judgments. Like, I think it's kind of cool that people can find.
So I want you to try it this week, Jake. I want you to diary one day. Okay. And I want you to put it in there.
And then we'll do it next one. I'll do it, actually. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
All my feelings.
From one day. Do it after you record the all-in pod.
Absolutely. You're doing great. Oh, I give that one a B+. I think it's like a cool feature. I don't think it's gimmicky.
But you're going to try it next week.
But I'm giving it a B+ because I don't think it's a gimmick. And I think if they did podcasting, which feels like a gimmick, they could also do a therapist. They could do a coach. They could do a best friend. They could do your mom or dad. And that's where I think this could get really interesting is if you took whoever the great advisor or friend you had in your life was, and then you capture them, like,
ooh.
I mean, that could be very special for people. You know, if your grandma always gave you the best wisdom and advice, and then you said, hey, here's everything grandma, like, and grandma was one of us with a big online footprint, right? Or you just had AI talk to grandma before she passes for an hour a day and just ask her questions. And then you could say, hey, I got grandma forever.
Yeah.
Like, I'm actually getting a little sad about it, thinking about my dad. My dad's sick. Yeah. And so I've been thinking about it and, like,
I'm sorry, man.
You know, him being gone and whatever. Yeah. You know, how long he's got left. He's 81. You know, he's a cancer survivor. Like, I'm like, my mom and dad, I want to capture it. So I was talking to my little brother, like, hey, maybe we should do like an interview series with my dad and just record it so we have it for our kids.
Just record, just do it. No, honestly, just record it. And then, you know, turning it into AI and all is super easy, but just record it. Just go and do a couple hours and you'd be surprised. Yeah. And do it as in, like, I would say, do the history of the family from his perspective and then do, you know, like top big moments.
I need the
of his
prompts.
Life.
I need like yeah. to get the prompts. So I think that's something where
ask ChatGPT for the prompts, dude.
Like, I know. I'm like, just thinking ChatGPT Canvas would do it yeah. for me and get all the yeah. prompts together. And then I could actually have ChatGPT do it with him. That would be very yeah. interesting too.
Yeah. I think
like, this would be a great business. I don't know why this doesn't exist.
I think some folks will do it, but like,
yep.
But what I think you could do is just give the prompts to him and then have, you know, some combination, you know, of Josh or someone just go sit with him, record him. Like he can just read out the questions. He doesn't have to come up with them. And then he answers them. And then, you know, I'll help you do it, Jacob, if you want to do it. I think it's a great idea. Last two. Okay. So, Meta's done two things recently, which are as follows. The first one is they haven't released this for use yet, but they've created a movie gen model. And, you know, just to kind of show you like what it's capable of, it's, you know,
beautiful. Pretty
yeah. And look, like, you know, we've seen this stuff before and this is tied into some of our bets, but like, I think this is just getting better and better and better, right?
The fidelity is getting there where yeah. if you weren't paying attention, you would think yeah. it's real.
Yeah.
And obviously a koala surfing, you wouldn't think is real, but you yeah, know, the but, stuff that's you know, not koala, you would think is
yeah.
real.
Yeah, like that's pretty good. And, you know, we're just kind of looking at some interesting videos here. And then you can edit them with text, right? Yep. So you can have this video and you can say like, hey, add pom-poms to this or replace this uh-huh. person with a dinosaur. And then, you know, this produce personalized videos, like of like a picture of yourself saying, hey, make me a, you know, scientist doing
unbelievable.
Something with a, you know, beaker or whatever it is. Soundtrack, sound effects, pretty incredible where this is going. So it really shows yep. the power of them and having lots of data like they have. And they haven't released this to everyone, but it's very, very exciting. So maybe we don't grade this one yet because it's not released, but it kind of shows the power of what's potentially coming our way.
And that's Meta's video llama yes. version.
Yeah, it's called Meta Movie Gen. Yes.
Amazing. I think Zuckerberg's, you know, really doing something special here with this open source stuff. I think we're going to look back on this and be like, this is, he made a very strategic decision that I think is going to pay off massively for him.
I completely agree with you. Okay, last one here is
and that one's a B+ too. I mean, but the processing speed of these is the other one I'm wondering about. Is like, remember they were all limited to 5 seconds. Have they yeah. gotten past that now?
No, they haven't released them yet. I think that's what they're all kind of working on. Right. And so the last thing here is like Meta AI. I don't know if you use it, J.Cal. You should. And you know, it's kind of like their ChatGPT now. It's designed a little bit more for fun than it is for, I think, kind of like the workflow stuff that we were talking about. But where it's super powerful, and I'm just going to do this. So I got a picture of you. And what you can do is you can give it a picture. And this is like a more modern one. And then you can say, edit this image. And you can say, make me bald, right? And what you'll see is it's like so powerful that like, you know, all these image things that were coming out the last couple of years, they've combined all that functionality and basically just, you know, this is like J.Cal, Mark Andreessen.
I don't actually, I kind of look good bald. I mean, it's a look. I look like
yeah.
I'm...
You know,
who is that guy who played the crazy guy in the M. Night Shyamalan series? There was like Glass, and then there was the other one, and then there's this guy who plays like a guy with multiple personality yeah. disorder, which I think it was James McAvoy playing him.
Okay,
but I look like Professor X. I like it. I like my yeah. Professor X look.
Yeah, so yeah, so anyways, like, look, that's what you can you can do here. And you can say, you know, as you can say, give me a beard. All right.
Oh God, here we go.
Yeah,
I look terrible. I can never grow a good beard.
Yeah, for some reason it's not. Let me go back and do it. Let me might have to just re-upload or restart again here.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's hilarious.
Yeah, and so so you can say but it's you know, it's like you know,
it's gonna be a lot of fun. I mean, and then I think they're gonna have to start watermarking these, correct? Because like, what is reality? Like, we don't make people watermark face tune-up or those tune-up things that I
know. We don't.
So, yeah.
So, look, I think, you know, and you can do all kinds of fun stuff with this. We're just playing around here, but
Give this a B. Solid
yeah.
B. It's
fun. Yeah, but, you know, they've taken all the image editors and all that. Oh, that is not a... So that one did a good job.
That actually...
I look like a hipster. Hey, would you like a soy latte? I feel like I'm making you a craft cocktail. If you put suspenders on me.
I was
going to
say craft cocktail. Crack
yeah,
cocktail.
I'm going to make you a smoky old fashioned with a lump of sugar in it and whatever. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to make you an overpriced cocktail. Let's go. In Austin. There's a bunch of those places in Austin.
There are.
They're big into cocktail culture here.
And that Uber mustache and beard. And that mustache.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, that's a waxed mustache. I look like a supervillain.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
All right.
Well,
this has been an amazing episode. Welcome back. Let's do it every 2 weeks. You got to store all these up, and we're going to get dialed in here. He is Sandeep, x.com/Sandeep. I am x.com/Jason. And let's give a little promo here for Grok. You got tons of developers. Anything coming up on the calendar?
500,000 developers. You know, we have the fastest automatic speech recognition. So look, Jacob, one of the things that we can do, if you haven't done it, is we can take almost all of, we could take all of This Week in Startups
2,000 audio. Plus episodes.
Yeah. And we could, and we do it at 250x real time. So basically, you know, whatever time frame that is. So let's say that's, call 2,000 hours divided by 250. In that much time, we can get transcript for
it. Love it. 10 hours.
Beautiful. Yeah. We can do it in 10 hours. Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
All right, everybody. We'll see you. And where can people find out more about Grok?
Just go to grok.com, groq.com.
All right. And we'll see you all next time on This Week in Startups.